Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto Home Life Business Insurance. If service and price means something to you, they mean everything to them. That's Kratzer Insurance, Auto Home Life Business Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Here in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We'll bring in Bob Buhner in a few moments. But we had to Scranton, and Donnie Collins joins us. And Donnie, you know darn well I want to talk about the Scranton Rail Riders.
Yeah, I figured. It was one thing or the other, and I figured, yeah, it's baseball season. It's got to be about the Rail Riders.
Absolutely. I mean, who would not want to have extensive conversations about that?
Except we have a hometown guy on the team this year here for the first time ever. So
oh, good.
I'm doing a lot of radio interviews about Russ Candler.
Right, good. That's great. I mean, because the only other person that would call you and say, let's have a long conversation about the Rail Riders is Brian Cashman. So
he's been known to do that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, he probably just calls you out of the blue. Hey, Donnie, how you been?
I saw a lot of seats in the first 10 rows at Yankee Stadium open, too, for Donnie to sit in with Brian Cashman.
Fabulous. You can sit there. Nice, cushy place. Very nice. Well, the blue-white game, of course, is coming up on Saturday. I think we all know what your answer is going to be, but still, I'll have you articulate it yourself. What interests you the most? What are you going to be looking for right away?
I think you could tell more about what the coaching staff's all about in this game than maybe any of the players, really. And you know, we'll see some of the plays that Franklin wants to use. And, you know, we'll see the defense, really. I mean, that's going to be something big for me because I think that's going to be totally different than last year. And I mean, you can't hide all that stuff in an exhibition game. You're going to see some schemes, and, you know, some philosophies that are going to leak out. And, you know, obviously, I don't want to show everything, but that's what I'm looking forward to most, is seeing what the coaching staff is going to do.
Yeah, this will be for them their first time in the stadium. They have not gone in there once yet. They were going to go last Saturday, and then the weather put them indoors at Huluba. So for them, this is actually an important experience. They're going to try and set it up a lot like a game day so that they get a feel for the place.
Yeah, and that's an important thing. I mean, you can only replicate so much in Huluba Hall. Nice place and everything, but you know, you're not going to have, you know, 60 or 70,000 fans or maybe even more the way the weather is going to be on Saturday. But, you know, this is you're going to tell a lot about your kids, too, in an environment like this, because, you know, if it's the first time that, you know, anything really kind of means something, and even though, it, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything,
right. But
it does mean something that, you know, they're going to go out there, and it's a special day for the coaching staff. It's going to be, you know, a day where there's some jobs might be, you know, they might start thinking about it. So, yeah, I think it's important. That aspect of it is important for the players, too, even though most of them have played there.
I know that May 14th will be a big day because they'll have another huge crowd for the Scranton event on the Caravan, like they always do. Whenever the head coach is there, whether it was Joe, Bill O'Brien, and now James Franklin, you're going to get about 1,000 people there. Whether it's at a Rail Riders game or just in casual conversation, have you sensed a buzz about Penn State football?
Yes. Yeah, everybody's really looking forward to this event, and people up here, I've told you this before, I mean, they take a lot of pride in being, you know, the number one attraction for fans on the coach's caravan, and it's going to be again. And, you know, there was some, you know, they're coming to Wilkes-Barre, you know, a week later, and there was some concern that, you know, hey, that'll take away from the Scranton event, but it really is, everything I'm hearing is that it's very robust. People want to be at the Scranton one. I mean, a lot of wrestling fans up here too, and Cale Sanderson's going to be there. So it's going to be a very well attended event again. I mean, are they going to approach 1,000? I would I would say so. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, you're starting to see this, you know, this event become an important one for Penn State too, because this is a good spot to get your message out. And, you know, and Penn State has been getting some players out of this area lately.
Yeah, they sure have, without question. James Franklin is somebody that we're going to have him on the show again on Thursday, which we're looking forward to. But his accessibility, how important has that been in the infancy of his program?
And it's huge. I mean, and it really dates back to O'Brien a little bit, because I think he tried very much early on to make himself a very popular person around the state. He did a lot of interviews. The coach's caravan didn't exist really before O'Brien got here, and he made every stop. And I could see this being something even more up the alley of Franklin than it ever was for Bill O'Brien. Right. He's going to have a good time at these events. I'm not sure Bill ever really did. But I think that you know, Franklin's going to come here and see all the people, and this is going to be something he's going to enjoy, because everyone wants to talk about Penn State football, the Penn State football coach. And that's, you know, to him, he sees the value in that. And you know, generating interest in May when you're 4 months, you know, before, you know, the trip to Ireland, he knows how important that's going to be, and not just for recruiting or for anything else, but, you know, morale of the program, you know, get people excited, ticket sales, all that stuff. And this is going to be a really good venue for him to push that agenda.
Yeah, exactly, and that's going to be an important theme. He wants, quote, a sold-out stadium. Every coach in the country wants that as their goal. And last year, Penn State averaged 96,000 tickets sold per game. He said one of the things for him that's very important is that there is a perception that people are so excited, the games are sold out, and the games aren't sold out. So, I mean, pushing the ticket sale part is going to be important, and the area you're in, obviously, is an area that people buy. I mean, you know, because you're around it. They buy. They go.
It's a 2.5-hour drive for even the people who live on the outskirts of the Scranton area.
Right.
So it's very easy for them to make a day trip out of it, get down there. Yeah, and that's what I think Franklin has to really, really do here is convince people that, you know, this is a good thing. If you wake up on a Saturday morning, it's a nice day, you want to go see a football game, just drive down and do it. And it's tough. It's a very tough environment, I think, for people trying to sell football. In the sense that you're going to get your big alumni people, you're going to get your huge fans, and they're always going to be showing up, and you know, 96,000 people with, you know, paying a pretty good penny to see a game, is really, really good. But these guys, you know, if they want 107,000, they're going to have to convince the people who, you know, last year were staying at home and watching the game on television, yeah, and having a good time that way. So they have to. They have to sell the game day experience. They have to sell, you know, the team. They have to convince people it's going to be a pretty good team. And they have to sell the future. And that's three things Franklin really, really does pretty well.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. I think you've hit the nail on the head. The home experience is such a great experience. It's why people have asked me, why are they spending $10 million on HD video boards? Because guess what? You need to make the stadium experience every bit as good as the home experience. Ambiance.
You mentioned, you know, the Rail Riders early on, and it's kind of related because a few years ago, the Rail Riders, the AAA team of the Yankees, plays here in Scranton, and we, you know, they had to basically tear down the old stadium because it was falling apart. It was a dump. It was pretty bad. I mean, they were getting about 2,000 fans a game, and people around here didn't think it was worth the expense. You know, they paid about $30 million, $40 million, something like that, and put in the video boards and made the concourses better, and really took a year off and decided, what do we do to get people back in here? And they settled on, we have to improve the game day experience. Well, last year they averaged almost between 6,000 and 7,000, I think it was. I don't remember the exact number. But it was almost twice what they were averaging the last time they had played here. And for Penn State, it's got to be kind of the same story. Not that they're going to do a whole bunch of, you know, stadium improvements, but you know, they have to convince people somehow that it's better than going to Buffalo Wild Wings and watching the game. They just have to do it, or else you're never going to get 100,000 people in there again. Yeah. And it's not Penn State. It has nothing to do with anything at Penn State.
It's everywhere.
It's just the way I think college football is going. You look around, and unless it's Alabama, where they have nothing better to do, there's empty seats at every stadium, and empty seats, many more empty seats at every stadium than you see at Beaver Stadium. I mean, there's programs that wish they had Penn State's problems in that regard.
Yeah.
But I think that the only way to do that is to make people realize, hey, it's better to be at Beaver Stadium than it is in front of your couch.
If Penn State is driving for a division championship, can't say conference championship anymore, it has to, you know, you got to do a step at a time. They're driving for a division championship. I think just that part of it drives people in. This is the tough year because I think most people felt sanctions-wise that this was the bottom-out year coming up. I mean, 14 is the one everybody kind of circled. And, you know, and if they get through this and they do okay, based on how he's recruiting Donnie, the sky could be the limit.
Yeah. Yeah, that this is a... Yeah, I think they're going to get through this season. I mean, even if they're 7-6, and I think they could be better than that. But even if they're 7-6, they have dominated sanctions. They have done much better than anybody would have ever imagined. On July 23rd, 2012, whatever. Yeah, I think it's 2012 now. It's all running together.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, if he goes 8-4 or 9-3. Then what recruit wouldn't want to play for James Franklin? Play the fun style of football. He's a fun guy. Really good coaching staff. Really good
yeah.
assistants. Get you pumped up. And the facilities at Penn State. I mean, everybody wants to play at a place. You get nice facilities and that's there. So there's nothing to not go to Penn State for.
Right.
And especially if they could sell, hey, look, here's what we did when we had our backs against the wall and nothing going for us. This is what we were able to accomplish here. Hey, that's going to sell a lot of recruits. And I think that they have a chance to be really good this year. They certainly think they have a shot at the division.
Yeah.
And next year, I certainly think they're going to have a shot at even more. You take it one step at a time. I hear people saying, in 5 years we'll have a national championship. I think that's a very aggressive goal.
Sure.
But, 10 years down the road, he could have the program in a spot where it hasn't been in, 30 years by that point, at or near the top of college football. There's no reason not to. I don't see, the drawback to playing at Penn State. I don't see drawback to the coaching staff. And I think that, building off of what O'Brien did, this could be a season where, he shows that.
Well, I think the other part he has an advantage in recruiting is that he has players who had choices and they chose here. And
yeah.
they had choices. And there's no other staff in the country that I think looks around their auditorium and realizes that people with multiple options said yes to staying here. That means something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's guys who didn't play very much who had options who could have gone anywhere
exactly.
they wanted. And,
you're right.
And that's a fact. And there's a reason that 2012 is one of the years up on the, in the Ring of Honor there at Beaver Stadium, because that class is going to mean a lot going forward. And a lot of those kids could have just said, I'm out of here. There's no reason to stay. And you're right. It's that decision right there by 40 or 50 kids who could have gone to any number of really good schools to stay at Penn State basically solidified Penn State in more than any wins could have, in my opinion. I mean, what school wouldn't have wanted John Herschel?
Right, exactly.
What schools wouldn't have wanted Mike Motti? But they stayed at Penn State. They're going to make some nice careers out of themselves. And I think, if I was a kid getting recruited, I'd look at that, and Penn State's certainly going to sell that. And I'd look at that and say, hey, if they stayed when they could have left, why? I'm going to give this an extra long yeah. look. And anything to help recruiting is a positive thing. But I think yeah. that could net you 4, 5, 6 recruits a year just on its own. And it's just my opinion. But you hear kids mentioning it all the time.
Yeah. Well, exactly because. When they come in and it comes time to be with, they want recruits to be with their potential peers. Well, these potential peers are so committed to staying when they had options, they're going to tell you why they stayed. And I think that's a big recruiting tool that people may not talk enough about. Donnie, yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, there's a reason guys like, you know, LeVar Arrington and, you know, especially Michael Robinson, you know, those guys, you see them back a lot, and you see them talking about Penn State a lot. Yeah. And, you know, they just, you know, they have a loyalty to the place that I'm not sure a lot of other schools generate out of their big-time players.
Donnie, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you this weekend.
I'll be there, Steve. I'm looking forward to it, too, even though the Rail Riders are home.
Donnie, thanks so much. Donnie Collins with us from Scranton, from the Scranton Times-Tribune. Buhner and I will come back, talk about that in a moment, and get Kevin's analysis of the interview. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. Sarah Bartlett moonwalking. Quite a sight.
It's not the same as when Kevin Hurd does it from the control room, I can assure you of that.
Let me put it this way. When Kevin does it, it's usually an accident. All right. James Franklin is going to join us on the show on Thursday.
Oh, that'll be great.
So James Franklin on the show Thursday. We're looking forward to that. Pro Day was today here at Penn State. Chip Kelly and Mike Tomlin were both here today, as a matter of fact.
Mm.
Taking a long look for Allen Robinson. He ran a 4.640 at the Combine in Indianapolis. He ran sub 4.5 today, kids. He ran a 4.45 at Pro Day today.
That will get a few heads turned, won't it?
Yeah. That he helped himself today.
Oh.
He helped himself. I can tell you that right now.
How many Penn State players participated today?
11.
Wow.
11. 11 participated today. And he ran a sub 4.5. He ran the 4.45, which, to my knowledge, has been his top out number here at Penn State. I don't think he's run faster than 4.45 here. He ran 4.45 last summer. That's what he ran today. And both the Steelers and the Eagles need a wide receiver, and Chip Kelly and Mike Tomlin were both here for Pro Day today. John Urschel got a long look. My understanding is Glenn Carson helped himself a lot today. Whether it parlays it into a sixth or seventh round pick or as a free agent, Glenn Carson helped himself today. Daquan Jones has been doing good things. And the draft, of course, is coming up in a month.
Well, it's going to be a very exciting time for those guys, no question about it, as they look forward to the next step in their careers. Meanwhile, I saw today that they announced the coaches' caravan. Places have already sold out. James Franklin, of course, headlining, I think it's all 17 appearances.
Yes, so he's doing all of them. It starts here in State College on May 1st. I was talking to the Scranton people today. I'll be at the Scranton event on May 14th. I'll be doing that one. I don't know if I'm doing any other ones besides those two, but you know, because there's also some independent ones I'm doing. I'm doing a speaking thing in Ohio, one in Maryland. So forth. So, you know, so I have some other stuff that I branched off and got involved in as well. So, but I'll be part of the caravan on two stops. I know that.
Well, that's great. I know there is. I think there's a stop. Well, I know there's a stop in Williamsport.
Yes.
A big crowd from the Central Susquehanna Valley, no doubt, will be on hand. I think it's at Gennetti's, if I'm not mistaken.
Good. Yeah, nice hotel. I like Gennetti's. Very nice place. So that is coming up. The Blue White game is this weekend, and again, we'll have James Franklin on the show Thursday to talk about the Blue White game. I'm also trying to work on, see if I can get either Jerry DiNardo or Bob Shoup, who's the defensive coordinator, on the show for Friday. That's what I'm working on there as well.
Well, a lot of eyes will be on the Penn State defense this year, no question about that.
Well, I think when you look at what Bob Shoup does, I can tell you that a very important part of what Bob Shoup does involves his middle linebacker. They feel very good about having a guy of the skill, athleticism, and intellect of Mike Hall at middle linebacker. Today's show being brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We'll be right back.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. As last night in Arlington, UConn won the national championship, and they did so last night because their guard play did more than just... It's too simple to say that the UConn guards dominated the game. They didn't quite dominate the game, but what they did was they forced Kentucky to do some things that is not what they like to do, and that's important. And when you sit there and you look at what they did last night, is they forced Kentucky to be more of a jump shooting team last night. When you have jump shots, jump shot misses lead to what? Longer rebounds. And one of the more effective weapons that Kentucky had in this tournament was the offensive rebound, where they took the offensive rebound and scored off a stick pack, a slam dunk, something. And the UConn defense forced Kentucky to shoot more jump shots than they wanted to, which meant longer rebounds, which meant the guards for UConn then could really get involved in the rebounding part, not just the forwards. And it's no surprise that Shabazz Napier was the leading rebounder for UConn in the game, and they out-rebounded Kentucky by one last night, and I think a lot of people didn't expect that, and UConn never trailed in the game and won. But that was the big reason why. I think the big reason why is that defensively, UConn forced Kentucky to be a jump-shooting team by how they played last night, and that then changed the rebounds, and that allowed UConn's guards to be involved in the rebounding. It took the forwards out of the equation in some ways because of the longer caroms, and that made a difference, and UConn never trailed.
You know, Steve, the second half defense by UConn limited Kentucky to 23 points, and the first 15 minutes of the first half, I think Kentucky had 15 points. It was only that one spurt right before halftime where Kentucky really played pretty well enough that they could have won, but boy, that defense was awful tight in the second half for the Huskies.
It was. Yesterday, I saw John Calipari yesterday. He stopped by the basketball writer's breakfast because George Lapidus out of Memphis, who unfortunately is dying. It's such a shame. He probably has anywhere from what he said, it's anywhere from 6 months to 4 years. But he has a disease that there's no cure for. He knows he's dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said he wanted to go to one more Final Four. And Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, whom we've had on the show many times, mm-hmm. I've known Mike for 25 years, he worked in Memphis with George, and he's the one that really pushed to make sure he got into the Hall of Fame. And you know, he's hosted a talk show for 42 years down there on top of his writing. And I think that when you look at, you know, that what was important to me and really drove home to me, the importance of honoring people while they're still with us instead of honoring people after they're gone. Because his wife was there, his sons were there, and he gave a beautiful speech. And I'll get to one part of the speech that I thought was the single most important part of it in a moment. But John Calipari, because of his time in Memphis, came down and sat with him for about 5 to 10 minutes yesterday, which was really nice and a very classy move. And then he went around, he talked to everybody else briefly before he left. Then Kevin Ollie and Shabazz Napier came down because Napier received the Bob Cousy Award as the top guard in the country. And they can. Jim Calhoun was with them as well and came back down, which was nice. Dick Girardi's speech, of course, total, complete prejudice on my part, but he was the absolute best yesterday. Great speech talking about the Big Five, and it was a really touching that Phil Martelli of St. Joe's, Jerome Allen of Penn, and Dr. John Giannini from LaSalle were all there as well. Three of the Big Five coaches were there. That was really, it tells you a lot about what they think of Dick.
Well, and the word's respect.
Very, very touching.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, but let me get to the part about the George Lapidus speech. That was important. He said that when he was a 27-year-old in Memphis, he had been put on the news beat and was enjoying covering news. And then they opened up a job in sports. And he said, well, geez, I really like to stay on the news side of it. And the editor of the paper said, no, you're jumping to sports editor. And he put a piece of paper down. He said, and this is your salary. And he says,
I'm bagging news. I'm going to sports. And so he goes over there, and he had developed some great, you know, Memphis is in that, for a long time, was in that tweener area between the Southwest Conference and the Southeast Conference, the old Southwest Conference. Because in the Southwest Conference, you had nine schools in there. Eight were in Texas, and Arkansas was the one that wasn't. But Arkansas borders Tennessee, and Memphis is right on the Mississippi River, and across the river is Arkansas. So he covered the Southwest Conference and both the Southeast Conference. And when he was a young sports writer at the age of 27, he went to an event, and the legendary Red Smith from the New York Times was there. And in the world of writing, Red Smith is to writing what Vince Lombardi was to the NFL, what John Wood to college basketball, Joe Paterno to college football, Bear Bryant to college football. I mean, Red Smith was as legendary as it gets. As his story goes, he walked up to him and he said, Mr. Smith. He didn't want to call him Red, or he said, Mr. Smith, introduced himself. Can you give me any advice that can help me in my career? And he said, I have two words for you. Never forget these two words. Be there. And that, but see, but that, you know, and that, now, this is, there's not a, it's not that there's a lack of desire on the part of reporters to be there. There has more of a desire for management to put them there. Because it takes time and it takes money to do it. And there has return on investment. Now, look at what this station does. I mean, look at, like, when it comes to the being there, how many high school football games are we doing on a Friday night? Four?
Yep.
How many high school basketball games are we doing during the course of the season? How many wrestling matches do we do during the course of the year? Then picking up and being a part of the Penn State network for football and basketball. And I know in the past we've had some NFL on as well. But that's what we do. We take you there. Now, obviously, in my situation, it does allow the station to, quote, be there. Because, that's one of the, at least, benefits of having someone like, you know, low-life like me here.
Exactly.
Okay? But we've taken the show to Pocono. We've taken the show to the U.S. Open Golf Championship. We took the show last year to the NCAA tournament. And because of my travel, I was in Dallas yesterday. You know, being there means so much, because now I got out of there yesterday, and I was there when the Hall of Famers were announced. Alonzo Mourning, Mitch Richmond, Gary Williams. You know, they were all introduced there, and there was an entire room filled with John Thompson. You know, Jim Calhoun was there. I mentioned Ollie and Napier showed up because Napier got an award. But being there, you know, I had a quick conversation with Jim Delaney yesterday. We're going to try and get Jim on the show, and he's aware of that. You know, but I had a conversation with him about stuff yesterday. But it's by being there, you walk out with a different perspective. You cannot give perspective from the outside looking in. You've got to have at least a foot in the door. You just can't. And you know that. In working in your office, okay, when you worked in your office as district attorney, and I say this with all due respect,
sure,
how many people got your job wrong?
Oh, absolutely. You have to be out in the field. My standing order was, if something happens, I need to be there. Whether it was a terrible tragedy or an accident or something, you got to get out of the office and you got to go to the field and see what's happening. Very simple.
But how many people commenting on your office or covering your office got it wrong because they weren't there?
Oh, secondhand news reports were just crushers to read, because obviously the people weren't in the courtroom, didn't go to the accident scene, and were relying on interviews of people that were second and third hand. It just drives you crazy.
Right. Okay, now I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Donovan Jack. For the outsider looking in, Donovan Jack regressed the last month and a half of the season. Well, let's just say the last month. The last month, is he regressed, didn't play as well,
a setback. I don't know what kind of player he's going to be in the future. He certainly wasn't the same guy we saw in December, January. Okay, anybody can watch TV and they can say that. Then you sit back and you say, well, you know, he got sick and he lost 10 pounds. You can't. And that's not an excuse. That's just telling you the facts. There's a big difference between, well, if we could have, we got. Those are all excuses. Okay? When you see facts, right, you can't do it. You know, I can tell you because I saw it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I saw it happen. I mean, I remember, you know, when he was sick, and then how he, you know, how weak he was for a week to 10 days after that. I mean, it just took him; he just couldn't quite get it back. That's a perfect example of what we're seeing. You know, and you've got to be there to do it. That's why the week that Zach Zwinak put gloves on, a simple thing, but he'd been fumbling the ball. Well, when he finally walked in, someone to put gloves on, you know, we went on the show and we talked to you about, hey, look, he knows and he's going to give this a try. He hasn't fumbled the ball since.
I remember, you know, that discussion.
Right, but that's a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be there. And, you know, and it's not that there is not a desire on reporters to not be there. Reporters do want to be there. And I think there has to be more done, you know, in multiple areas to continue, because newspapers obviously are suffering right now. When Mike DeCourcy got up and introduced George Lapidus yesterday, he talked about how there used to be two newspapers in Memphis. Well, now there's one. You look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh used to be, now you have the Tribune Review, but the Pittsburgh Press used to be there.
Absolutely.
Mike worked for the Pittsburgh Press. They're gone. And there's a lot of newspapers across the country that have disappeared or have become smaller sheets. Take USA Today, bumping from $1 up to $2, but there's less newspaper than there was 10 years ago. Physically less newspaper. I love sitting down, getting a paper, cup of coffee, flipping through and reading and picking things up. It's easier for me than going online to do it. But obviously online you can get a lot of information. But, you know, do I sit there and say, hey, that blogger is really informed? And 9 times out of 10, as somebody who's there, I can tell you, no, they're not. All right. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. So price means something to you, it means everything to them. It's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. We're here in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury Motors, Keyworth 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Bob Buehner alongside her. Thanks to Donnie Collins for being on the show today. We've talked a lot about several things. Soika getting a great review by a group of individuals who went to all 351 venues in the country. Soika ended up 89th out of 351. The Jordan Center ended up at 336. Peterson Center ended up 14th. Palestra was 35th among college basketball venues in this rating system. We also talked a little bit about the blue-white game. James Franklin's going to join us on the show Thursday to talk about the weekend. 68 degrees and sunny is currently the projected forecast.
Big crowd will be there then with that kind of a forecast. I think
if they say it's going to be like that, it's going, then you're right.
And I think Donnie was right when he talked about the enthusiasm level of the Penn State fan base. I think James Franklin has elevated it substantially. And it wouldn't surprise me if this coach's caravan just sells out at all 17 spots. By the way, final score from Yankee Stadium. Sarah Bartlett, are you ready?
Yes. Oh, I know it.
It's the New York Yankees 5, the Baltimore Orioles 14.
I think that's fantastic, but I'm elated, but I am a person that is very, very, very cautious. I don't go crazy about preseason. I don't go crazy about just the beginning, but I'm very happy.
And, you know, Kevin would have already had the playoff schedule down.
Kevin and I are very different that way. I'm a huge fan, but I'm very cautious. I like to ease into it.
Phillies and Brewers, by the way, 1-1 in the bottom of the second. Giants lead at the Diamondbacks 2-0 bottom of the first. As we mentioned, the Orioles won big today, 14-5 over the Yankees. So that's coming up. And, of course, tonight it's the Women's Championship. Honest to goodness, two adults that could have advanced their game with two undefeated teams have taken the game and flushed it. So, good job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great being looked at as the pinnacle of your sport. You know, I have no problem with honesty at all. I have a problem with a lack of class.
Don't you think Geno sometimes just suffers from lowering himself to a level he doesn't need to be at?
He is the perfect ambassador for this sport, where he's got, with 8 national championships, he shouldn't care what anybody else does. He has an opportunity to be a big picture spokesman for his sport. Universally respected. He speaks, you listen. That's the kind of guy he is. I mean, she's done a great job with what she's done at Notre Dame, but, you know, I mean,
yeah.
So what?
How about?
I mean, you no offense. I mean, but in the world of ego, you're a bit player in this game. I mean, their sport needs a Cale Sanderson type that is successful and humble at the same time. I mean, they need that. I mean, Cale Sanderson takes, but Geno does do this now. So let's not say he doesn't do this. Geno Auriemma does go all over the country to play games.
He's not afraid to do that.
Yeah, he's always done that. He's been a great ambassador for the sport. Yet the one game that people had circled during the season that was a women's basketball moment was UConn, Tennessee. And when Pat Summitt was there, that ended. Right? That ended. It ended long before Pat got ill, whatever. It ended. All right, it wasn't good for the sport. At that point, the second that ended, because the sport does not have a lot of casual fan interest, right? And because when you don't have casual fan interest, I'm sorry, but you got to keep doing things. I mean, you know, wrestling is the kind of sport where it doesn't have a lot of casual fan interest. Cale takes it to Utah Valley State, takes it to Boston University, does a non-conference with Iowa because it's best for the sport to do it, all right, to get more people interested in the sport, okay? That's why because the casual fan, the diehards are fully invested in the sport. The casual fan is not. They're like, who won? Really? Oh, good. Oh, that's great. Good. Did you watch it? No, I really didn't see it, no. Right? That's where this sport is, okay? This sport gets more hype, but in reality, the casual fan does not respond. They just don't.
You know,
the crowds are older,
mm-hmm.
and that's an issue. And it's not, and now you have the two quote giants of the game acting like 5-year-olds at a press conference.
You know, when women's college basketball really arrives is when they put a betting line in Las Vegas up the same way they do for the Final Four. And, you know, it just doesn't happen because there's not the casual interest of people.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about, yeah, I bet this game does happen.
I'll have to look that up a little later and find out what the odds are.
Well, seriously, it must have this. I mean, it's the national championship game. I would think it would have some sort of. I have USA Today here. Let me do a quick look.
All right, but I think that's
I can tell you right now. Most of the year there's zilch. Let me see here. By the way, 40th anniversary today. Hank Aaron's 715th home run.
Oh boy!
How about 40 years ago? You want to talk about a man who handled an extremely difficult thing with class? NBA, NHL. No. No. Didn't make the cut.
Nope.
How about that? 40th, there could not have been a... Hank Aaron was the perfect man to break, and I interviewed him once. What a class act. But you could not have asked for a better man and a better personality to have endured what he did during that run, because he received a lot of hate mail.
Totally unjustified.
I don't understand sometimes the mentality of some people. I know you get emotionally wrapped up in stuff. I like passion, but it has to be, can't be misguided.